Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Teams off today, but Sam Rubin is on, a Hollywood reporter for News Nation out in Los Angeles. And Sam, as you know, it was August 16th, 1977 that Elvis died. And with the new movie out, there is renewed interest in the King, isn't there?
I think the interest has never really abated. I think this movie was not the hit that people anticipated that it would be. And I think Baz Luhrmann always has this problem to me where he excessively cuts things. So this is a 1940s, 50s, 60s story that is told decidedly in, 2022 terms. So I don't know that the movie succeeded to the degree that people had hoped, but you know what? The interest in Elvis Presley continues, and that phrase, cliche, I suppose, except it's true, bigger in death, perhaps, even than he was in life.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that it's gotten critical reviews, the Elvis movie, and I saw it twice. I thought it was really, really good, and I got the impression that it was doing fairly well at the box office, but you say no?
There's so many different metrics. It never had that giant out-of-the-gate opening. The fact that right now there's not a lot of other things to see is another reason why Top Gun Maverick, I think, was the number three movie last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I think the Elvis film is retained at the top 10 or top 15. And, this is the old Hollywood phrase, it may have longer legs. I'm curious, Bob, seeing it twice, a lot of people had, thumbs up, thumbs down vis-a-vis Tom Hanks' performance as Colonel Parker. What did you think of that?
It was a little over the top, but it didn't bother me. I mean, I thought, the kid who played Elvis was so compelling that I wasn't bothered by that. But you're right about the cutting. I mean, one of the reasons why I think I enjoyed it more the second time is because it's so fast that you miss a lot.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's funny because Baz Luhrmann, one of the most successful directors out of Australia, maybe the signature film is Moulin Rouge, and I had the same problem with Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. I was like, I really want to, enjoy this movie, but you're cutting, that sort of old style MTV cut. It was, and maybe that makes us both sound more middle aged than we want to. But I thought, this is just too fast for me.
I'll tell you one show that everybody seems to agree on, and it was a giant hit, especially last night. I guess the finale of Better Call Saul, that was big.
It was big, and it was really good. And, a phrase people have, there was always that concern, the Sopranos did not stick the landing. I stayed up past my early morning wake-up time, bedtime. It was terrific. I just thought it was so, so good. And one thing that's happening now is voting season has just opened for the Emmy Awards. And the TV Academy would be voting on Better Call Saul's last season, not this one. But I think they did such a great job last night. This will help fuel Emmy success, particularly for his co-star, the actress Reese Ehorn, who plays Kim Wexler. She's been good the whole time. Only a first-time Emmy nominee this year. It's amazing she's been ignored for so many years. But without giving anything away, it was terrific, and some really good cameos. Bryan Cranston returns, and they just did such a good job. And what I like about that show so much is it takes its time. It's the antithesis of Baz Luhrmann. Mm-hmm. It lingers, it pauses, and I really, really liked it. And my intent was to watch 5 or 10 minutes. And then I'll catch up with it today. But you know what? I stayed through the whole thing. And when you watch that show on quote-unquote linear television on AMC, they put so many commercials in. It's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I stuck with it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, they were taking advantage of what they knew would be a big tune-in, as you call it, linear television. When you're talking about the stream these days, it seems like everywhere you look, I'm looking at a couple of headlines here in entertainment news. HBO cuts about 70 staffers as parent company looks to trim costs. Peacock's paid subscribers stayed flat at 13 million. Losses widened to $467 million. What's going on, and what do you see as the future for streaming?
I think, Bob, there's going to be a shakeout, because the biggest problem, and I don't know if you encounter this in just water cooler conversation at the radio station, is when somebody brings up a show, oh, Severance. Okay, great. Where? How do I see it? Where is it?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, increasingly problematic. You can't find anything. And so I think it's crazy. And then also, again, streaming is quote unquote cheaper than cable, but to it's cheaper unless you have to buy 8 streaming services.
Right.
So that's problematic. This thing happening with Warner Brothers Discovery and the sort of bloodletting at HBO, it's extraordinary. I mean, they really are getting rid of a huge number of people. So that's, you know, problematic too.
Well, the HBO Max and Discovery Plus merging, I guess we're going to see more of that, aren't we?
Yes, and some people say this is the one to keep in the back of your mind, that ultimately HBO Discovery will merge with Comcast, and then in theory you would have HBO Max and Peacock under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. So again, that may be several years away. But one thing that I actually read this endless book about HBO, and just recently the guy James Miller, who does these sort of oral histories, I mean, it's almost biblical size. But HBO, of course, I think, you know, stands for quality. That's a brand name that means something to people. But they were terribly mismanaged by AT&T, and they keep getting passed around. And it's essentially, can this HBO entity survive all this corporate turmoil with various changes back and forth?
We'll see. Sam Rubin, it's been fun being with you on the freeway and then walking through the parking lot to get into the studio there, News Nation in Los Angeles. Thanks.
You know, I always try to disguise it, Bob, but I never do a very good job.
We're on to you. Have a good day.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Other entertainment news this morning. Jeff Beck has announced a fall U.S. tour. And that will begin in Texas September 23rd. It runs through November 12th. And he will be joined by Ann Wilson on the first 3 dates, ZZ Top on the first 6 dates. More information coming soon on that. Tickets will be going on sale on Friday. Jeff Beck will hit Chicago October 23rd at the Chicago Theater. And Motley Crue and Def Leppard's co-headlining stadium tour finally kicked off this summer after 2 years of COVID-related delays. And unsurprisingly, it's proven to be a box office smash. It has grossed an average $4.9 million a night over the past 14 shows. And the stadium tour ranks 4th in terms of ticket sales currently. Motley Crue and Def Leppard behind only Ed Sheeran and Coldplay and Red Hot Chili Peppers as far as tickets sold so far this summer. Other rockers in that top 10, Billy Joel is at number 5, Iron Maiden at number 6. Later this week, Beast starring Idris Elba hits the theaters. Elba plays a recently widowed father who travels with his 2 daughters to a South African game reserve. The journey of healing turns into a fight for survival when they become the targets of a wild lion on the loose. Dean Richards is on assignment, as we mentioned, but he did leave us part of his interview with Elba, who was named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive in 2018. And that's why Dean asked for tips on how to stay in shape.
You look fantastic. You couldn't look more super cool with those shades on. What do you do? I mean, you know, a lot of us, you know, want to have the Idris Elba routine so we can also be in good shape. I have the sunglasses. That much I can handle. What else do you do? I mean, do you work hard, or is it just kind of natural to you?
There's definitely, you know, a genetic, my parents being West African, is a certain type of body type. But I will tell you something, man, like, you know, we have this cycle of eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and we put a lot of stuff in our mouths, into our digestive systems quite a bit. You know, about a year ago, I sort of made a decision to sort of redesign that, look at that a little bit. And try to eat less, try to let my the natural sort of progression of digestion work. Because if you're always eating, your body's always working, your immune system goes down, you're not getting the nutrients you want. If we eat less, you know, drink a lot more water, get a lot more sleep, you just end up being healthier. Now, I'm not the picture of health, so I appreciate what you're saying, but I certainly am aware that to do what I do for a living, I have to stay in a certain amount of shape.